Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi folks, and welcome to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, the host of the program, and I'm also the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. As always, I'd love for you to zip over to the website to learn more about this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith. What in the world is it? And we'd love to have you come join us for worship. Actually, that'd be the best thing of all. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30. The address is 4600 Winding Way in Sacramento. Each week on this program, brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis and KFIA Radio, I love to bring you a variety of guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Faith. We've had all kinds of pastors and theologians and laypersons and musicians and everything else in between. Today, I am so blessed to have with me right here, live and in person, Carl, wake up, Carl. Live and in person.
Hi, Chris.
It's Dr. Carl Peters from all the way back in Lexington, Kentucky, and he is in the studio with me today. Carl, always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
It's wonderful to be here, Chris. Thanks for picking me up at the airport.
And, yeah.
Looking forward to a great week with the AFFN board this weekend.
Well, and I want to talk about that for sure, but if I had not picked you up from the airport, it's a long walk out there, and besides, it's raining today, which we need, but anyway.
Very kind of you.
Dr. Carl Peters, you and I go way back. We go back to, goodness gracious, the Institute for Worship Studies, which we can talk about in just a couple of moments. We both have an admiration for Dr. Robert E. Weber, a mentor of ours. We met, in fact, at the Institute for Worship Studies, and it was there that we started a long, fast friendship, and today we are both lead pastors of churches, you in the Southern Baptist tradition, me in a non-denominational church, but we spent a lot of years doing music ministry, too, didn't we, Carl?
Yes, we both started out in music ministry, and when we met each other, we were both in music ministry, and the Lord kind of changed our direction a little bit into lead pastoring.
It was 2000, wasn't it? Or 99, something like that?
It was 2000.
Carl, you've served in a variety of churches as music minister in Florida, Kentucky, also here in California, when for a while you were just up the road in Grass Valley. And it was wonderful to have you this close, and I wish we could be together more often. But we have maintained that friendship over the years and some things in common. Yeah, we have some interests. In fact, that led us to our meeting at the Institute for Worship Studies.
Well, we certainly were interested in worship renewal and seeking to bring authentic, biblical, scriptural, historically informed worship to our churches. And our friendship really began in a worship practicum setting where we were worshiping together.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of fitting, isn't it?
It is. I remember as we were going through that particular course of study, it had a huge impact on me, changed me quite a bit. I know that it did you as well. But, you know, I'm thinking that Robert Weber, our mentor, and who's now passed away, been 10 years, if you can believe it, I think that he suspected that all of these music ministers and worship leaders would come to the Institute and get all of this good knowledge and learning and go back to adoring crowds of happy, expectant folks ready to, and pastors, ready to learn all about biblical precepts of worship and build upon a worship that is historically based and also biblically based. That wasn't really the case for a lot of people, was it?
No, and it goes back to Bob's desire for music pastors who usually we would have two music degrees.
Right.
He approached us and said, what do you know about worship? Have you studied worship? And most of us who had an undergrad in music and perhaps a church music degree, a master's level church music degree, had to answer, no, we really haven't studied worship.
Mm-mm.
So Bob offered us this beautiful platform where we might study the biblical roots of worship and the historical developments of worship. So we did. We went back to our churches with all of this wonderful information to share with our churches, trying to figure out why we do what we do in worship and showing how some of the things are man-made tradition. where we are warned in the scriptures. Paul said, hold on to the traditions, paradosis in the Greek, that we have handed down to you, whether by word or by letter. Jesus warned about holding to man-made tradition. So as we went back to our churches to maybe question some of the things that were not biblical and to bring to fore some of the things that are biblical, why, we were met with considerable resistance.
Yes, and a number of our colleagues and friends, and I get these calls all the time, and that's one of the reasons that we formed the Ancient Future Faith Network, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. But I was getting these sometimes very emotional and plaintive calls from worship leaders, worship pastors who were saying, I'm finding that the biggest obstacle to real worship renewal in my church to be the pastor. And one of the frustrations of being a music minister or worship pastor is that you very often, depending upon the church denomination, have very little, what would be the right word, institutional control or power or input to make any kind of meaningful changes. Yeah?
Yes, usually the senior pastor, the lead pastor, is the one who makes the executive decisions or the buck stops at his desk. And what's sad is that many pastors are measuring success not by scriptural means or by scriptural standards, but they are looking at more pragmatic and business kind of success models.
Yeah, nickels and noses.
That's right. And so what determines what they do is just whatever is going to be received by the congregation or whatever makes the pastor look good and is most apt to get him a raise at the end of the year. So we were facing an uphill battle as we went back with these wonderful biblical concepts that we wanted to share with our churches.
And so, as the story goes, a number of us, and at least you and I, found ourselves eventually being lead pastors. And it is a wonderful blessing. It's been the highlight of my ministerial career, I have to say, to finally be in a place where at least you can have the platform from which to talk about meaningful worship reform. You're listening to an interview with Dr. Carl Peters, my dear buddy, who's in town for a board meeting of the Ancient Future Faith Network. We're talking about, well, gosh, a lot of stuff. We're talking about when we met at the Institute for Worship Studies and our lives now as pastors and also the Ancient Future Faith Network. Just one more quick word about the Institute. Carl, if folks wanted to learn something about the Institute, we would send them to iws.edu. That's the website for the Institute. And particularly if people are thinking about a worship education, I cannot more strongly recommend that folks look into it.
Jim Hart is the president there. He was in your class, the alpha class of the Institute, and was a dear friend of Bob, as you were a dear friend of Bob. And the two of you, I think, go a long way to keep Bob's legacy alive, a legacy of worship renewal and trying to return the church to its roots, the common roots we have in that sort of pre-denominational early church. Not that we are trying to remake that era, but that we can learn from that era, an era very much like our own, pluralistic and hedonistic, and truth is totally subjective, and an era much like our own with government oppression and all kinds of similarities. Yet those early believers changed the world and went out and gossiped the gospel and shared their faith and really made a difference. And in our culture, we're facing many of the same challenges they face. How
Indeed.
Can we be a bold countercultural witness for Christ? How can we interject the story of God into the multiple stories being presented by the world, a world that says there are no narratives, master narratives? Well, we happen to have one, and we need to share it boldly as they did in the first few centuries.
That's beautifully said. I was just going to say, it strikes me every time I spend any time at all thinking about this or researching it, that the world we're living in right now looks so much like the first, two or three centuries of the church, before Constantine anyway. And the way these amazing theologians and pastors and church fathers hammered out the essential tenets of the faith. Well, as Bob Weber used to say, the road to the future surely does run through our past, through the Christian past, and we would be wise to go back and take a look at those tenets.
Indeed. I think what Bob said over and over is that in our day, we have lost the story. We've lost the story of salvation history. All of our spirituality, our worship, should be based on this story of God's creation, man's fall into sin, and Jesus' incarnation and then recreation. This is pictured for us in baptism. It's the story of new creation through Christ Jesus. This story is one that plays out through the scriptures, and yet if you attend worship in many churches, you would scarcely hear this story told. But it is the story of God's intervening on man's behalf and saving mankind from itself. And that we've got to tell this story. It's the story that changes everything. And yet the story has somewhat been lost in our attempt to kind of argue with our culture about this or that, and or to treat worship as a time for therapy or inspiration. We've lost the story, and we just need to tell that old story when we come together for worship and when we go out and witness.
Yes, the story is surely one of the central, what would you say, pillars or components of ancient future Christian spirituality, to say nothing of baptism, which you just mentioned a moment ago, and of course, the Lord's table. One of the things we're at least hoping to do in my neck of the woods is to restore the rich biblical traditions of baptism and Lord's table and help people to get a more fulsome sense of how that connects us to the history that has come before us. Carl, as we have been articulating ancient future Christian faith, and especially after we planted and began to grow as Epiclesis, I go back to these calls that I would be getting from people saying, hey, I'm wondering more about this ancient future Christian thing. Maybe God's calling me to plant an ancient future church, or I'm a music minister or a pastor who's trying to implement ancient future Christian principles in my particular denominational context. How do I do that? And it was through the vision of some of our elders and also mine, that we would create a network where we talk about this thing called ancient future Christian faith. And I'm so proud to have you on our board of directors. That's why you're in town for this meeting of board of directors. But talk a little bit about the Ancient Future Faith Network, and then we can point people to the website and some other stuff in just a minute.
Well, the network really is an outgrowth of our love for worship renewal and our strong desire to see the church be all that God intended for it to be. And what we have found is that if we seek for a way to define the church, we can find business models, we can find all kinds of ways that people are defining the church. But, you know, it really makes sense for us to go back and look at what the scripture has to say, and then how that first century or two or three of the Christian church played out what they were learning from those biblical writers. So the Ancient Future Faith Network is really to help people across denominations. We are not a denomination,
right?
But we help people to gain resources to try to understand this concept. We will, during the year, meet in June for our annual meeting, where mm-hmm. we'll hear speakers share about worship renewal and the things that are happening across the country and around the world in worship renewal. And it's a way to connect with like-minded folks, to gain encouragement, to gain resources, to gain insight. The website has thousands of documents to help, resources to help, articles written by our members. Just a wonderful way to connect with people who are traveling this same journey, this same path of worship renewal. And Chris, I just wanted to say a word about, I'm a Southern Baptist, I'm in a Baptist church, and there are those who would claim that ancient future principles would be a threat to a Baptist church.
Really?
And I would say that is absolutely 100% wrong.
Oh, mercy, yeah.
Because if anything, the ancient future concept helps any church in any denomination
yeah.
return to be a biblically authentic and biblically informed church, carrying on worship as God intended it. And that's really our goal, is to connect with folks who are really seeking that kind of worship renewal and just to help them along in their journey.
Well, I think it's useful to point out a couple of things and to touch on at least a couple of things you just said. First of all, we are not a denomination. That's not our aim, but rather to provide resources and encouragement and so on to folks from all kinds of denominations. And I should also hasten to add, around the world, our membership is now international. And so folks from far-flung denominations and non-denominational churches are doing this. And it also, I think, is important to point out that we're talking about not, quote, just merely worship. We're also talking about what it is that the church is supposed to be. What about spirituality? What about catechesis, or we would say today, discipleship and growth in the Lord? And there are a number of things we can learn, the ancient good of the ancient church, that is very helpful and renewing and invigorating and reviving and refreshing the contemporary evangelical evangelical church, yeah?
Absolutely. Dr. Weber wrote a beautiful book called Ancient Future Evangelism, where he talks about a 1940 study by Philip Carrington. He claimed to have found a pattern in Ephesians, Colossians, James, and 1 Peter that stressed 4 points for all new Christians to observe. I'm quoting now from the book. These 4 injunctions are summarized in the following phrases. Wherefore, putting off evil, that's repentance and turning to Christ, we submit ourselves to Him. We then watch and pray, where we begin to study the Word of God and to pray. And then we put on the armor of God as we resist the devil. These 4 things are found in the New Testament and may well be the earliest form of catechesis we have. The early church took that and began a 3-year period of instruction where the people moved toward maturity. The seekers would come, they would learn the Word of God, and then they would learn about what it meant to be the church. Then they would prepare for baptism. And then they would be incorporated into the faithful body of Christ, where they would learn to use their gifts to build up the kingdom. This is the spirituality of the early church and the growing in the faith that Bob wanted to point out and that I believe the church can learn from today. It's very interesting to look at how the early church tried to disciple folks toward maturity. And what they realized was this was a period of time. In other words, you don't just come forward and receive Christ or begin to follow Christ and you're there.
Right.
The discipleship process is over a period of time. It's a journey you go on. And there are various stages of maturity as you move through this process marked by rites of passage in the early church. Mm-hmm. And these are beautiful ways for people to have a marker that says, hey, I'm moving along in my journey and I am attaining these things as the Lord is filling me up with truth and filling me up with life. And I think these are valuable things for us to go back and revisit so that we do not neglect these baby Christians when they come to the Lord. We would certainly take care of our little children. We wouldn't put them in the car seat to take them home and put them out in the parking lot and say, good luck to you. We need to nurture and love and care for our new converts as we would a new baby that arrives in the world so that they grow up healthy and strong and they're equipped to face the challenges of life. And we know that the challenges for Christians would be an attack from the evil one against us. So we've got to be equipped with the armor of God.
I should also say that Journey to Jesus is the process by which we bring new people into the life of our church. In the ancient church, it could take up to 2 or 3 years to walk through this. We don't take that long at Epiclesis, but it can take up to a year if someone wants to be a member of the church. So we do use that process. I should also hasten to add, and it occurred to me when you were speaking, is that ancient future faith is not a style. I get that a lot. You know, okay, what kind of music are you doing? Well, music takes a subordinate role in an ancient future approach. It is a vehicle for the gospel story that you were talking about a minute ago. But having said that, we have a number of resources that folks are sharing, and it's a wonderful, a musical way, among other things, to put lots of prayer and scripture into a worship service. And that's, I think, one of the tenets of ancient future faith as well. Coming to the table, probably more frequently, depending upon your tradition, emphasizing and fleshing out the importance of baptismal spirituality and the baptized life. And then a robust worship that is participative, experiential, image-driven, connected, and certainly telling God's big story and using 1,000 colors to do that, Carl.
I think another aspect of this is the way we mark time, the way we, as a countercultural community, do not follow the world's way of marking time, but we follow Jesus around the Christian year. Through about 6 months of the year, we follow Jesus and his story. And then for 6 months, we look at the life of the church and how we are to conform to that story and conform to the image of Christ. And the Christian year is a wonderful way to refocus our time on Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, rather than, say, the governmental calendar that so many are tagging their lives to. We look to a different calendar, a different way of marking time.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing indeed, and a countercultural thing, isn't it, to order your steps and mark your time according to the life of Christ and a scriptural focus. Well, we've been talking about the Ancient Future Faith Network, and before we sign off, Carl, we should probably hasten to add that the website that you mentioned and the wonderful resources there is a great place for folks just to kind of stick their toe in the water a little bit and see what is this ancient future faith thing all about. Of course, I want them to visit the Epiclesis website, especially if they're in the Sacramento region, to think about coming and worshiping with us and seeing firsthand what an ancient future faith worship service is like. But if you're interested in digging deeper into this ancient future thing, I would encourage people to go to the ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org site. That's a mouthful. I better do it again. ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. Carl, speak to at least a little bit the kind of resources that you're going to find there on the website and encourage people to visit a couple of places.
Well, let me just mention too, I was mentioning the Christian year and following Jesus through the Christian year. There have been several articles written. I think Mark Chapman wrote a series of devotions for the Advent season.
Mm-hmm. And Epiphany as well.
And Mark Brown, I believe, has also written several articles about the Christian year and one on Epiphany. And also you can find there, and this is fascinating to me because Bob Weber just means so much to me. We have A Minute with Bob. I don't know what the official name is. Help me with that, Chris.
60 Seconds with Robert Weber.
60 Seconds with Bob Weber.
Close enough.
Wonderful, wonderful. 60 seconds of Dr. Weber sharing from his workshops or from his teachings.
Audio files
mm-hmm. where you can hear his voice and hear him in a very poignant way making an incredible statement about some aspect of his teaching. And those are just a delight to listen to. I think the most recent one was on the Lord's Supper. But those are just a couple of things. I think there are thousands of pieces there to help folks understand and to learn what ancient future can mean to their church in their context.
There are a number of free things to do on the website. We do ask folks to become a part of the network and to become a network member, and that gives you access to restricted material there on the website. But there are a number of free things as well. For example, a chapel where the content changes daily. You've got a little snippet of scripture and then some artwork to consider, and then an extended passage of commentary by one of the church fathers that has to do with that particular thing. And that's free. You look at it every day. It changes. And then, of course, a number of the articles and things that you're mentioning on the website are also free. You can find them in the Abbey. So I do want to encourage people to pop over to ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org and check it out. And most of all, folks, we'd love to have your financial support. It's a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, and your contributions and your membership fees are tax-deductible, and we'd love to have your help. And while you're there, read a little bit about the mission and purpose of the Ancient Future Faith Network. Think about becoming a member too, Carl. We'd love to have them on board. Yeah,
it's very affordable, and there's a student membership that's even more affordable than the regular memberships. We also have a resource partner. If you have theological books or a project or something you've done, you can become a resource partner, and you can have your materials advertised right there on the website alongside Dr. Weber's beautiful book series and many other things that are shared there by our resource partners.
Carl, it's been great to have you here in town with us. You are in town ostensibly for a board meeting of the Ancient Future Faith Network, but I just want to say, as my buddy, it's always good to have you in this neck of the woods, and you are welcome here on the Ancient Future Faith radio program anytime you want to.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me, and it's always a joy to be with you.
Folks, my guest today has been Dr. Carl Peters. He's a dear friend and a pastor of Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. He's in town for a board meeting of the Ancient Future Faith Network and here to talk about the work of the network and also this thing called Ancient Future Faith, which we do each week right here on KFIA Radio. Until we gather again for another episode, I want you to think about this. Surely, the road to our evangelical future runs through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113. or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Christmas is over, right? So what happens next? Well, one ancient future thing about our celebration is that Christmas doesn't end with a whimper or roll quietly to a stop. It ends with a big bang called Epiphany, the wonderful season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ. Join us for worship during Epiphany. And by the way, our Sunday morning discipleship series is starting up with a brand new course called Studying the Bible for All It's Worth. And I'd love for you to be a part. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.